Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way. Amen. And hope to see you soon.
Awesome. Hey, I want to go to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and dive into part 4 of our message series. We've been in this series called This Is Us, and it's been just an incredible series where we've been talking about the values of our church and who we are and how we are oriented as a church and the things that these are like the hills that we die on. Every week we've been talking about that. So if you've ever wanted to kind of know what our church is about, you've come at a great time. And if you're watching online, to all of our Facebook family, we say a big welcome to y'all. Can y'all make some noise for our Facebook family? Amen. All of our B fam, our internet family, Bridge fam, online fam, good stuff. But this series is all about discovering or really sharing and emphasizing our values as a church. And so if you've missed any part of this series, you can go online, check it out, download our app from the App Store. And you also downloading the app from the App Store, you can also follow along with our sermon notes that are provided in the app as well. Believe that'll be a great tool for you. And so I want to go to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. This is going to be where our sermon comes from. It says this. We got it on the screen in case you don't have a Bible. It says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 4 says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. For a few moments, I want to preach from this thought, our fourth core value of the Bridge Church. We are contributors, not consumers. Tell the person beside you, we are contributors, not consumers. Lord, I thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you, God, for being a way maker. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. I pray, Lord, that these next few moments that you would stir our hearts, speak to our souls, that we would be contributors and not consumers. We thank you, Lord, because you have first loved us in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 We are contributors and not consumers. This past week was kind of a very popular week in many of our lives because there has been a craving and a craze and a buzz that's been happening around our country this past week. And it has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with a scandal. It has nothing to do with other things that are constantly populating TV airways and on the radio. But it is that of the Powerball. The lottery. The lottery has been consuming many people's attention and has been on the minds of many. The lottery has been something that obviously, as we see the amounts, that everybody would love to win. On Thursday, it was at about $900+ million, which made it already the second highest or largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history. But there had not been any winning tickets from Thursday up until now. And so now, and I'm sure most of us have been following, the winnings and the earnings have now risen to over $1.5 billion. Now, when you see this amount, many of us immediately are like, man, I could do so much stuff with $1.5 billion. I could do a whole lot with $1 million. I could do a whole lot with $200,000. I don't need no mill. Shoot, give me $200,000. I don't need to be begging, but I ain't too proud to beg for that. But it's been interesting because that's been consuming so much of the attention that's been happening or that's really taking place right now in our country and in our land. And it's everywhere. It's on the news. It's on Facebook. I've seen so many people talking about it on social media, and it's been absolutely hilarious to see people's posts My wife, Ariel, and I, we were talking earlier this week, and she was kind of like, you think we should play it? And I know for some of us who may come from like a very different type of background, like Christians should not play the lottery. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. That's not the point of what I'm saying right here. The point of what I'm saying here is that's a lot of money. And who would not want in on that? And it was funny because there hadn't been a winner on Thursday, nor was there a winner on Friday. And last night she was like, that's a sign from God that we need to play. I don't really know, but I know it's a lot of money. I do believe in seed time and harvest time. I do believe that if you sow, you will reap. I don't know if that's good ground to sow in or not, but I do know that's a lot of money. And oftentimes when we see a lot of money like that, we immediately go into this mode of saying to ourselves, man, I could do so much with that. We begin to think about how we could better our lives as a result of receiving that. And by all means, do not get me wrong here. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God blesses you with. There is nothing wrong with aspiring for great things in your life. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be debt-free. There's nothing wrong with wanting to live in a nicer house. There is nothing wrong with that. There is a misnomer oftentimes in the body of Christ to say that you're Christians and so you can't have nice things. That is not true at all. The thing is when nice things have you. That's the difference. And God has no problem with us enjoying the things that he wants to give us. The problem is not just when they have us, but now when we begin to think that the things that God has given to us, that they are only for us. That the things that God has blessed us with is only for us. I remember when I got my car back in high school, or college rather. I got a 07 Camry, had gotten an accident, and then it worked out where I got pretty much a brand new car. And I remember saying to God, I was like, Lord, if you happen to bless me with this car, I will use this to be a blessing to so many people. Now, part of that was like, I really want this. The other part of that was like, I really wanted to be a blessing to a lot of people because a lot of people in college didn't have it. And sure enough, what happened? God blessed me with the car, and people were asking me for rides like crazy. And God was like, and don't you dare ask for gas money. Right? Immediately, I looking back, I saw how God was trying to develop in me this culture in my heart of not being a consumer but being a contributor. And 99% of the people who are playing the lottery, most people who are playing the lottery trying to get this $1.6 billion, they're not thinking about, man, if I win this, I'm going to give 99% of this away. Nobody says that. And the reason why is because there oftentimes is this bent towards consuming more than contributing. And what I want to help us grow in is that we would become people and be people who are constantly consumed by being contributors and not being consumers for ourselves. And I know that's difficult because we live in a very westernized context in America where it's all about get what you can, get as much as you want, give, get, take this. Let me help us understand something about being a follower of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are givers, not takers. We are called to be givers, not takers. We're not called to take stuff and just consume stuff and just get spiritual indigestion. No, we are called to be people who don't just receive from God, but more importantly, we are called to now be people who dispense the grace and the blessing of God that God has given to us. And that's what you see actually happening here in this passage. You see happening in this passage this principle of being a contributor or being a consumer. This is the fourth value of our church. We've talked about a lot of different values. Last week we talked about being a diverse family, and our God's desire for the church is that it would be multi-ethnic, meaning people of different colors and creeds and classes and races, and that it will also be multi-generational, people who are younger, people who are older. Does it not matter that our church is to be diverse? But this is also equally important, that it's not just enough to be a diverse family, but we are to be a diverse family of people who contribute. Who give. And so here in this account, you see Jesus going to the city called Capernaum. And now, as a result of him traveling, there's this word that has gotten out that Jesus is making his way to Capernaum. Now, back in this day, word was spreading about Jesus going to places, and when word would spread, people would flock to wherever he was. People would come from miles away just to get a glimpse at this carpenter from the hood. Just to get a glimpse of this Messiah who was performing all these great miracles, who was helping blind people see, who was this way maker. Like, they wanted to get a glimpse of that. And so as a result of him now coming to this city called Capernaum, where he oftentimes spent a lot of time, the place is packed where he is. The house is full, not even standing room only. There is literally like a buzz in the air. And it is so jam-packed that it is, if the fire marshal existed back then, they would come and shut the whole thing down. That's how crazy it was. And in the midst of Jesus being here and preaching the word to them, it's interesting what happens. The Bible talks about how four men come carrying a paralyzed man into this sacred space where Jesus is preaching the word. They have this desire to want to see their friend get to Jesus. Why do they have this desire to get this man to Jesus? They have gone through pain and length to get this man to Jesus. Why? Why are they bringing this man to Jesus? Because they believe that Jesus is the source and the strength and the answer to all of this man's problems. Here's the question that I want to ask us, and I need us to lean in on this. I need you to really dial into this. The question I'm going to ask you is this. Do you really care and believe that Jesus is the source and the answer to the issues that your friends and that your families are dealing with today? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus is the answer? Because if you believe that Jesus is the answer, you will help your friends, you will help your families get close to Jesus. You will do everything in your power to point people to Jesus. You will do everything in your ability to help lead people to Jesus. This is one of the biggest differences between a contributor and a consumer. This is the big difference between just somebody who comes to church on somebody and comes to church on a Sunday and somebody who's actually a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ says, I'm not just following Jesus, but I want to see other people follow Jesus. Like, I'm not just in a relationship with Jesus. It's not just for me. I want to see my family. I want to see my friends. I want to see my coworkers. I want to see my enemies. I want to see people's lives transformed by Jesus. That's what they care about. That's what you see these men here in this passage care about. They bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They are contributing to seeing this man come to know Jesus. And off the bat, they show us a sharp contrast that we can either be consumers of God's grace or we can be contributors to helping other people experience God's grace. It's one or the other. Either you and I can be a consumer or we can be a contributor. Do you want to know one of the biggest things that people oftentimes are saying when they're trying to find a new church? We oftentimes will say, what can this church do for me? How can this church help meet my needs? That really should not be the posture that we should take when it comes to exploring anything. It more so should be, what can I bring to this? What can I add to this? Now, that's not popular preaching because we live in a time where it's all about consumerism. It's all about getting what you want, and it's all about catering to your needs and catering to your desires. And but by all means, like, there is a place for that, but the totality of our lives is not to be spent consuming. It's meant to be spent contributing. That as followers of Christ, the mark of a follower of Christ is somebody who loves God but also loves their neighbors by themselves through contributing. By helping people. Here's a few truths that we learned from this passage that I want to just explore for the next few moments. As it relates to contributors, number one, contributors are compelled. There's a strange characteristic about contributors. One of the characteristics is that they are compelled. It means that they're driven. They're motivated by something. What are they motivated by? Here in this passage, here's what we see. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man. Notice here, these men show us what's motivating their visit to Jesus. They did not come to hear Jesus just for themselves. They came to Jesus bringing to him a paralyzed man. They were motivated by something bigger than themselves. It had nothing to do with what they could benefit from and how they could benefit from this. It had everything to do with how can this impact somebody else? How can I contribute to helping somebody else's life get changed? How can I contribute to helping somebody else's life be built up? They were compelled and filled with compassion for their friend, for this man who was paralyzed. They said he cannot help himself. We believe that we have exactly what it takes to be able to help this man get to Jesus. We believe that we have exactly what it takes to be able to help this man be transformed. And the question I'm going to ask you today is this. What motivates you? What are you compelled by? Are you compelled by only things that benefit you? Are you compelled only by things that boost up your stock? Are you compelled only by things that add more dollars to your bank account? Or are you compelled, am I compelled to wanting to see lives transformed? Are you compelled to wanting to see people healed? Are you compelled to wanting to see people set free from the bondage of sin? Are you compelled to only want to see your career blossom? Or are you compelled to want to see others blossom? What is driving you? What motivates you? I knew this sermon wouldn't get a whole lot of amens, because now we're cutting right to the heart of American culture, because American culture is all about consumer, capitalism, get everything that you can. Jesus says, no, the way to being a true follower of mine is not by gaining much. It's by laying things down. It's by laying down your preferences. It's by laying down all your desires. But pastor, God says that he'll give me the desires of my heart. Yes, he does. But prior to that, he says, delight yourself in me. In other words, I align myself with his will. It means I align myself with his heart. In the heart of God, at the heart of God, this is what his heart looks like. It is a generous heart. How do we know this? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He contributed to seeing you and me saved from our sin, to be restored, to be reconciled to God. God is a giver. He is a generous God. God is about giving. He is about pouring everything out. He is about sacrificing. He is about laying things down. Jesus proved that to us by going to the cross. Romans 5 and 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is how God demonstrated his love for us. Followers of Christ are called to be contributors who are compelled. Compelled by the love of Christ, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5. Here's what he says, actually. He says this: if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die. Contributors are compelled by something bigger than themselves. They are compelled by something more important than themselves. It is not me, myself, and I. It is about, what can I do that will help somebody else? And I believe one of the biggest Achilles heels in the local church today is we oftentimes build churches that are shaped around what you can get versus being shaped around what you can give, what you can contribute. I know that that's not popular preaching, because what everybody wants to hear is that God is going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out blessings that I don't have enough room to contain. That God is going to bless me with that new career. That God is going to bless me with that new man. Right? We want all those things. That God is going to do this. That God is going to do that. That it's just gimme, 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 gimme. Do you know who says that? Infants and toddlers. Children. We have a one-year-old who says mommy all day long. We have a 5- and 3-year-old who are constantly asking for things. Never once do they say, hey, mom, dad, what can I help you with? The minute they say that is the minute Jesus is going to take me home. Thank you, Lord. My job is done. The difference between people who are mature in the faith and immature in the faith is the difference between contributors and consumers. Mature people say, what can I give? Immature people say, what can I receive? And here's what Jesus would say in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Already at Paul would summarize what he said. He says, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Doesn't that run completely contrary to what we actually think blessing means? We think being blessed means I get more. We think being blessed means that I get a bigger house. We think being blessed means that I get a bigger bank account. We think being blessed means that I get a bigger car. We think being blessed means I get all these tangible things. And Jesus is like, no, not my kingdom. The blessing is not on receiving something. The blessing is on giving something. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving, but that is not the full picture of it. The full picture is that as I've received, now I contribute. Now I give. And as followers of Jesus, we are to be compelled by what we can give, not by what we can receive. We are to want to exist in this world to be a blessing to people. Let me say it like this, that we are the church. But we, as we are the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and the church exists for the world. We are the church, and God has placed us here in this community to impact this community. We are the church, and he's placed us here at 35 Todd Mill Lane, so that way we could be an impact in this community by partnering with people like Burbank Elementary School to shine the light of Christ in dark places. That is what he's called us to do. We are called to be contributors, not consumers. We are called to say, God, what is it that you want to do through me? Not just, God, what can you do for me? That is what we are called to be. People who are contributors are compelled by God's purpose. Consumers are motivated by their own interests. Let me ask you this simple question. Are you more of a contributor or are you a consumer? Are you a contributor who says, man, I want to lay everything down so that way God can use it to be a blessing to somebody else? Or are you a consumer that says, man, I want something for me? It's all about me. Let me say this as well, that in the body of Christ, I'm afraid that we've spent more time coaching you and telling you to get everything you can from God as opposed to saying, going to God asking, what can he do through you? We've trained you very well to tell God to enlarge your territory, to pray the prayer of Jabez. We've trained you very well in saying that God will pour open the windows of heaven and pour y'all blessings. Do you realize that when God just says stuff like that, it is not so that way you can just get spiritually overweight. It is so that way you can simply be a conduit of his love, a conduit of his grace, a conduit of his mercy, a conduit of his favor. When you get that extra bonus from the job, the first thought that I have oftentimes is, man, I think of a whole lot of stuff I can do with this. But in all actuality, we should be saying, God, you blessed me with this. Thank you so much. How do you want me to use this to advance your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? Don't nobody like them prayers. You don't like that. I don't like that. Because that goes counter to what we've been hearing. Not just in the body of Christ, but outside of the body of Christ. But God says, man, I'm looking for some people who aren't so full of themselves, but are willing to say, I want to be a contributor because I'm compelled by something greater than myself. You got goals to advance in your career. Why do you have that goal? You want to get married. Why? You want a new car. Why? See, we don't like to ask those type of questions. Why do you want that? You want a bigger house. Why? So you just have more room? Or do you want more room to be a blessing to people? So quiet. I was talking to somebody this week and they were saying, man, it was so quiet in the church, you could hear a rat licking cotton. I said, what? I never used that one. But I'm going to use that. See, when we talk about offering ourselves to God and to be used by God, it begins to stir us up on the inside. It begins to kind of run contrary to those fleshly desires that say, it's all about you. Matter of fact, they run perpendicular to your own interests. Isn't that interesting? They run perpendicular. Perpendicular. Carry your cross. Lay down your life. Follow me. That's what Jesus says. Perpendicular. Do you see the cross? It's a perfect example of me not being consumed with myself, but being compelled by the purpose of God. And being compelled by the purpose of God compels you to want to contribute. And when you see these four men here bringing this paralyzed man to Jesus, they're compelled by something bigger than themselves. They say, man, we're coming to Jesus not just for ourselves. We're coming to Jesus because we want to see our friend's life change. We're coming to Jesus because I want to see my husband's life change. I want to see my wife's life change. I want to see my kids' lives change. I want to see my coworkers change. I want to see my friends change. I want to see my boyfriend and my girlfriend change. I want to see their lives change. This is why I do what I do. It's not about me. It's not about how I can benefit. No. I want this to happen in my life so that way others can be blessed. I want God to bless me so that way I can be a blessing to other people. That's why. I want God to enlarge my territory so that way more people can occupy space. That's what it's about. It's about being compelled by something greater than yourself, but it's also not just about being compelled, but contributors are also collaborators. Notice what happens here in verse 3 at the end of it. It says that some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried, watch what it says, by four of them. Carried by all four. Notice the teamwork here. Notice how these four men worked together to get this man to Jesus. Notice that it was not some, as we say in basketball, it wasn't hero ball. It wasn't about taking the last shot. It wasn't about who's better. It wasn't about who's stronger. It wasn't about who has more gifting. It wasn't about who has more anointing. It wasn't about who has more resources. It wasn't about who has more strength. It says, who is willing to help advance the kingdom? Who is willing to help get this man to Jesus? And one person says, I am. Another person says, I am. Another person says, I am. And another person says, I am. And together, we work together to get this man to Jesus. And I firmly believe that If it had not been for these four men, if it would have just been one man trying to get that one paralyzed man to Jesus, he would have never got to Jesus. But these four men laid down ego. These four men died to themselves. These four men said, we are not going to be consumers and just come here and hear this good word and good preaching by Jesus. But if we know that Jesus can heal people, we're going to bring some people that we know that need to be healed. And we're going to work together and we're going to put in this effort. And I'm going to use my strength and you're going to use your strength. And I'm going to use my finances and you're going to use your finances. And it doesn't matter how much either one of us have. The question is, will we all be all in? Will we all be contributors? Will we work together? Will we be co-laborers? You ever notice in the word collaborate is co-labor. Will we be people who co-labor together? Do you want to know what the enemy to collaboration is? Cockiness. Cockiness is the enemy to collaboration. Because cockiness says, I don't need people to do this. Cockiness says, I got everything I need to be able to do this. I don't need your help. I'm stronger than you. I have more than you. But contributors say, I may have a lot, but it's still not enough. We need yours too. And we need yours. And we need your gifts. And we need your ability. And we need that thought. And we need that strength. And we need this. And we need that. And if everybody will contribute what they have, maybe our friend can get healed. Maybe our friends can get saved. Maybe if everybody would contribute, maybe we can see Hampton Roads change for the glory of God. Maybe we can see the city of Hampton be transformed by the glory of God. Maybe we can see high school students and middle school students coming to know Jesus. Maybe we can see sex trafficking and human trafficking beginning to decrease in our culture and in our society and in our city like Hampton Roads. Maybe if everybody would say, I'm not going to be a consumer. I'm going to be a contributor, and I'm going to work together with other people who say, I want to be all in, and I want to be all in. If we work together, man, we can see God do something crazy. Contributors are collaborators. Because teamwork makes the dream work. That is not about one person. This church is not about me. This church is not about you. This church is about Jesus and what he desires to do through the collective parts of every single person in this community of faith. This is why in the Bible constantly refers to the church or the family of God as the body of Christ. And the body is made up of many members. If your arm is messed up, it impacts your health. It impacts your body. If your eye is messed up, it impacts your body. If your stomach is jacked up, got BGs, bubble guts, messed up, it impacts everything. If your foot is messed up, it impacts things. If your mouth, if your teeth are giving you crazy pain, it impacts stuff. We need everybody functioning well so that the body can be exactly the way God intended it to be. Collaborating. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, how crazy would it be for the eye to say, I don't need the arm? How crazy would it be for the foot to say that the arm has no value? No. Each one works together. We are many members, but one body. And we all have gifts, and we all have abilities. And God says, I want you to bring your gifts, and I want you to bring your gifts, and I want you to bring your resources, and I want you to bring your resources to bring them together so that lives can be changed. I want you guys to collaborate. Here's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8 through 9. The one who plants and the one who waters. Notice there's two different people. One who plants, one who waters. They all have one purpose. They don't have two different purposes. They have one. What is the one purpose? And they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. What is the one purpose? To build up the body of Christ, to help people come to know Jesus. That's the purpose. And there's many people who play a role in that. That when you come here on Sunday, when we have people who come here, for instance, on Sundays, who say yes to Jesus, that did not just happen because I was preaching to them. It happened because somebody invited them. It happened because when they walked into these doors and they came into the parking lot, they were warmly greeted. And if you weren't warmly greeted, I will have a conversation with our First Impressions team today. And then when you came in here, you heard songs of worship. You got a welcome. There were so many things that played a role in what God did to bring forth transformation in somebody's life. Every single person matters to God. When we teach Growth Track, we say every member is a 10 in some area, which means every single person has been gifted by God and been anointed by God to do something incredible. And the church is much stronger and impacting the community and seeing lives transformed by the glory of God when people are functioning in their purpose. We collaborate. We work together. So I need you to carry your weight. I'm going to carry mine. Could you imagine if these four guys, as they were carrying, one dude just said, you know what, I'm done. Home dude who's on the mat collapses then. Could you imagine they're all just walking together, man, it's like they're making progress, and then two of them say, you know what, man, this dude's too heavy, bro. You got to get to Jesus on your own. It's a catastrophe. But we see the collaboration that takes place here. Contributors collaborate. They say, let's work together. Let's work together for a common goal. Let's work together to help people come to know Jesus. Let's work together to see our friend be transformed to Jesus. The only one that does not like partners in collaboration is pride. Pride does not like partners. A prideful person never wants to collaborate because they want all the glory for themselves. What they quickly will not, what they hopefully quickly they will understand is that you cannot do it by yourself. No. God has called us to be many members in one body. Contributors, they do not compete against one another. They complement one another. They are like two pedals on a bicycle. You can't go anywhere if you only have one pedal. They are like two pedals that are working in harmony, and we're making progress. One pedal can't say, hey, man, you're too slow. Go on and get off. No. It's not going to work. No. Both are working in harmony. That is how marriages are supposed to be. That is how your household is supposed to be. That is how the church is supposed to be, where we are working in harmony. We are many members. It means this, that we are all different, but when we work together in harmony, it becomes a beautiful tapestry of the glory of God, of the family of God. When we begin to put down our preferences and put down our egos and put down our pride, and we just begin to work together, see how far we can get for the glory of God. See how many lives can be changed for the kingdom of God. See how many people can be set free from sin. See how many people can be transformed. Is this making sense to y'all? Because y'all looking at me crazy right now. That when we work together in harmony, that's when we can see change take place. Contributors are collaborators. Contributors, they're also compelled. But here's the last point. Contributors, most of all, they are committed. They're committed. They're committed to the work. They are committed no matter what. And that's what we see happening here in verses 4-5. Here's what it says. It says this. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. I'm going to stop right there. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, how many of us would have stopped at the limitation? Many of us would have stopped. We would have ran into the fact that this whole house is packed, and those houses back in that first century context, they weren't mansions, y'all. They were kind of small. They were probably about the size of the equivalent of a one-bedroom apartment. And it's probably hundreds of people packed in here like sardines. Clown car. Everybody's coming out. But it's jam-packed in here. And they could have easily just got to the door and say, you know what? There's no way we can get our friend in here. Let's turn back and let's just go home. Let's just give up. Let's just throw in the towel. Maybe we'll try next time. Many of us would have did that right there. Because oftentimes when many of us see limitations in our life, that's exactly what we do. We quit. We quit. We give up. We hit a ceiling. I guess there's no way around it. We hit a ceiling. I guess there's no way that we can do anything about this. Not these dudes. They say, we hit a ceiling? Well, let's tear a hole in the ceiling. We see a ceiling? Let's tear the roof off. There's a song back in the day. I'm not going to say it, but let's tear the roof off. I wonder whose idea that was to say, let's tear the roof off. And I wonder what the other guys were like, really, bro? But then something strange happened where they probably started to be like, you know what? We don't got nothing else to do. There ain't no other way. Let's roll with it. I wonder, this is the tension in the story. Because the tension is, in all of our lives, we hit these roadblocks and we hit these limitations where we can either fight through it or flight from it. We can either press through it or we can run from it. And oftentimes in our lives, when we face difficulty, when we face hardship, we sometimes will even spiritualize it and say, I guess that's not God's will. Because we face difficulty. Do you not realize that Jesus said, in this life you will have many troubles? Do you not realize that all of the Old Testament was filled with God blessing people and delivering them into new lands. Do you know what they had to do to get to this land? They had to fight. They had enemies, but they weren't doing it themselves. God was fighting with them and for them. Do not think for one second that the blessings of God and the transformation that God wants to bring forth only come just by flow. No, sometimes they come by fight. Sometimes that means you have to stand firm. Sometimes that means you have to press through. Sometimes that means when you see a limitation that you don't see it as an obstacle, you see it as an opportunity. That you can't just disqualify the favor of God just because you run into attacks of the enemy. No, and oftentimes the enemy knows good and well that the way to get us to quit advancing in life is to throw a hurdle in our way. Because oftentimes when we see a hurdle, we run away. Let me give us some things that we'll oftentimes say when we face limitations in life. We'll even get real spiritual with it. I'm waiting on God to open up a door. How many of us said that before? I've said it plenty of times. You try to be real spiritual. I've just been praying to the Lord and I'm just waiting. Waiting for what? Think the blessing's just gonna come out of the sky? I mean, God can do, he can make it rain. But he's not. He wants your faith to be in action. Here's another thing that we'll oftentimes say. I'm just waiting for things to get better. What if they don't? What if the situation never changes? Right? We'll say things I'm waiting to have full clarity on everything. Really? If that was the case, it's not walking by faith. Now you're walking by sight. These men saw this limitation and they could have ran home. But instead, they get on the roof. They see this limitation as an opportunity. Here's the difference between consumers and contributors. Consumers remain idle. Contributors take the initiative. Contributors say, I see an issue. Well, let's do something about it. And let's not sit here and try to pray it away. That's usually just an excuse for laziness. Because we don't want to put in the hard work of actually seeing God do something great. We don't want to have God stretch us to actually take a step of faith. By all means, I'm not advocating for a works type salvation. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. And there is work at times that you have to put in if you want to see God do some crazy things. When it comes to contributing, there is some work that you have to sometimes take measures to do things that are unthinkable. And oftentimes, many of us will run into these limitations and we say, I don't have what it takes to be able to press through it. Let me help you understand something, that you have exactly what you need to do what God has called you to do. What you lack is the faith to do it. What you need to ask God to do is to not grow your finances. You need to ask God to grow my faith to manage them. What you need to ask God, would you grow my faith? Would you grow my faith so that way when I see a mountain, I can speak to it rather than run from it? Would you grow my faith to the point where I see a challenge and I don't become a coward, but I say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That I don't see obstacles as limitations. No. I see them as invitations. As invitations to see God do incredible things. Here's what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor, that's work, labor, in the Lord is not in vain. Why is this so important to understand? Because you will face challenges. You will deal with difficulties. When it comes to taking a step of faith and contributing for the kingdom of God, the enemy will do everything in his power to keep you from being the contributor that God has called you to be. But the question is, in this moment, when he throws those challenges your way, will you trust what God has said or will you only trust what you see? Will you trust that he says that you are able to do all things through him, that all things are possible to them that believe? And notice what happens in verse 5. The men, they bring their friend to Jesus. Verse 5 says this, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Notice what it says, when he saw their faith. Not the man's faith, their faith. This man got saved because of the contribution of four other men. This man came into a relationship with Jesus on this day because of the fact that four men said, we are not going to allow anything to get in the way. We are committed. We got this grit in us. We got this dog in us. We got this gangster in us. That we're not going to let anything get in the way. We're not going to be punked by problems. I feel like somebody should hashtag that. Don't be punked by problems. And the enemy oftentimes will throw these problems our way to punk you. But Jesus is saying, I've already given you all the victory that you need through my resurrection. Will you trust me? Will you contribute? Will you take a step of faith? That's what he's trying to get us to do. That we would be contributors, not consumers. That we don't just come there and just listen to Jesus preach, but it's like, no, we're coming here for an agenda. We're coming here because we want to see lives change, and we're committed to seeing this thing through. We're committed to seeing our friends change. We're committed to seeing our families change. We're committed to seeing our marriages change. We're committed to seeing our community change. It does not matter. We are all in, and I'm going to give whatever it takes, and I'm going to give up my time. I'm going to give up my energy. I'm going to risk life and limb, which, by the way, they did to climb up on a roof. If you've ever been on a roof, by the way, they risk everything, their own lives, so that somebody else can experience life. They sacrifice. And Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. But as this message gets ready, as this text gets ready to conclude, and as my message gets ready to conclude, notice here what the scribes, verse 6 says. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? Talking about Jesus. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They didn't realize that Jesus was God incarnate. They had a misappropriation and a misinterpretation of Jesus. And because they had a misinterpretation of Jesus, they missed the miracle that Jesus was doing. Let me help you understand something. When you don't see God for who he is, you will always minimize the miracles that he does in your life. Because they had a misinformed perspective and theology of who Jesus was, they didn't see him as a long-awaited Messiah. They were the consumers in this passage. The four men were the contributors. These scribes, these teachers of the law, they were consumers. And notice what they do. They don't bless God for the fact that this man just got forgiven. They criticize. They scrutinize. Because consumers sit and criticize. Consumers do this. This is what they do. Don't get freaked out. I'm going back here. This is what consumers do. Consumers get chairs, and they say, who does he think he is? This guy, this dude named Jesus, thinks he has the power to forgive sins. Who does he think he is? Who are these four men? How dare they just tear up a nice prestige roof that just got put on? How dare they do that? These radicals. How did they're sitting there with arms folded. Consumers do a lot of that. They sit back and they just criticize. They sit back and they just talk about how bad things are. They find any way to nitpick anything. They will nitpick the greatest, most awesome miracle of God. Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, but maybe he didn't do it the right way. You know people like that. And this is how they sit. Stank face and everything. Who they think they are? Doing all that, going the extra mile. So they sit. Because they're consumers. Consumers are selfish. Consumers only think about themselves. Consumers aren't, they're not concerned about how other people's lives will change. They're about themselves. But we see the contrast that though they're the consumers, the four men are the contributors. And they show us two types of people that we can be. We can either be the one who sits in a chair, folds arms, and just consumes. Or we could be like these four men, and we could say, we got a problem, our friend has a problem, he needs Jesus. We don't see any way in which this situation can get better. There's too many people in here. Let's climb a roof. So they say, Lawrence, come grab this door for me. Got to get crowd participation. They say, let's grab a ladder and bang stuff up while we do it. And yeah, and they work together. So co-laborer, come on, we got to work together. We got to collaborate this thing. They say, we're going to do whatever it takes to get our friend to Jesus.
And they did have ladders back then. They may not have looked like this, but they did have them, because that's the only way you can get on the roof. And they say, hey, I'm going to hold this while you climb. And as you climb, the two of us, we're going to pass our friend to you. And one of us is going to be on a roof, and the other, we're going to do something really dangerous. We're going to climb parts of the ladder that we shouldn't even climb at all. The unstable part. We're going to take some steps of faith. Oh, no, don't do that. You might hurt yourself. Yeah, but this man is hurting more than I could ever get hurt, and he needs Jesus. So I'm willing to risk life or limb. That's what contributors do. They sacrifice. And so I'm willing to go the extra mile, and I'm willing to take even shaky steps of faith. Insane steps of faith. Some of you guys are looking at this right now. It's like, this is not going to end well. And they're saying, we continue to take steps. And then another co-laborer comes. Here we go. Awesome. See, this is collaboration. This is called being a contributor. Because what happens is, when people begin to see people taking steps of faith and people contributing, what it should cause and compel is other people to want to contribute and say, I'm not going to just let a few people do an amazing work of God, but I'm going to be a part of the solution that God wants to bring about the change in the lives of other people. So that way in verse 12, Jesus can tell this man, son, not only are your sins forgiven, but pick up your mat and walk. And Jesus is saying today, I'm looking for some people who will say, I'm going to be a contributor and be a part of the will of God and be a part of the plan of God. I'm not just going to be a consumer and just say it's all about me, but I'm looking for some people who will say, who will lay their lives down so that other people can pick their lives up? Who will lay their lives down so that other people's lives can be transformed? That's what he says. That we can be contributors. They took my ladder away already. They can be, no, I'll bring it back. They can be consumers. And just sit. Some of us have been coming to this church for a while now, and you've just been sitting, right? Been getting good word, getting good teaching, getting a lot. It's awesome. Bless God for you. But God is more so concerned about what can you contribute? What can you give? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with what you've heard? Are you going to climb a ladder? Are you going to either be lazy or put in work? So Paul says, always give yourselves to the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain, which means every sacrifice that you make for God, every contribution that you make for the kingdom of God, it leads to somebody else's life being changed. Every penny, every dollar that you give to God through the local church, every ounce of anointing and gift that you use to serve on a team, to serve at Burbank, or whatever it is what God uses to bring forth transformation. Do you notice the way in which this man's life was changed? It was changed through the contribution of four men. And I wonder how many lives can be changed through the contribution of many in our church. If Jesus can change one man's life through the contribution of a few, I believe that he can change a whole lot of lives because of the contribution of many. And the question that you have to ask yourself today is this: are you going to just take a seat and just sit? Going to hide behind the lies? I don't have enough money to give. Can honor God this way. God knew exactly how much you had before he even told you to give it. Because if you always look at your limitation and your lack as a disqualifier to do what God has called you to do, you will always miss out on the miracle that he wants to do. The widow in scripture didn't have a whole lot, but she had a little bit. And what she had, she gave. And Jesus said, she is far more blessed than anybody else putting more money in here. Why? Because she gave the best of what she had. God is not concerned about quantity. He is concerned about quality. He's concerned about you giving your all. He's concerned about you making and taking the step. And for some of us in here, man, it's an arrow to our hearts, because some of us in here have been so focused on consuming, and we have yet to be people who contribute. But here at the Bridge Church, we will always be a church and be a people who contribute and not just consume. We will be people who serves our hearts out using the gifts that God has given us. We will be people who pours out our heart. We give to God. We honor God by giving financially through the local church. We use our gifts to serve in the community. We pour out our lives so that way people can come to know Jesus. We don't compartmentalize our contributions. No. We give it all. And Jesus says, there are some people that are close to you that you know, just like this paralyzed man. They're not paralyzed physically, but they are paralyzed spiritually. They are immobilized in other areas of their life. Their marriage is not moving. Their self-esteem is terrible. It's low. It's not moving on the up and up. And God says today, but if you would go from being a consumer to becoming a contributor, their life could be changed. I'll say it like this, that your contribution now can lead to somebody's change next. What you give right now is what God wants to work through to transform somebody's life. We sing songs like Waymaker. It's a powerful song. Do you not realize that the way that God oftentimes makes is through people? So we're in a financial crisis and we say, Lord, I need something extra this month. I don't have enough. And then he sends somebody to be a blessing. God gets all the glory. He gets all the credit, rightfully so. But what was the vessel that it came through? A person. Somebody contributed. He wants to do the same through your life. And I want our church to not be a selfish church. I want our church to be a selfless church. Where we're the first people on the scene when it comes to a need. Where we give our best. We offer our best to God. Where we don't hold anything back. We say, I don't got a whole lot, but what I got, I'm going to give. Because that's what a blessing is. Or if I got a whole lot, I'm going to give it all. Because that's what a blessing is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the question I want to ask you today is this. Are you more of a consumer or are you a contributor? Maybe today it's the question of what do you want to be? Do you just want to be a consumer? Or do you want to be a contributor? And I want you to know that the blessing is not on what you receive. The blessing is on what you can give. You receiving it, only you are blessed by that. God's not selfish like that. He gives it to you so that way you can be a vessel in which he gives it to others. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would deliver us from being selfish, deliver us from being focused on selves, from being self-centered. Help us to adopt this contributing spirit like these four men had. Be compelled by something greater than ourselves. Help us also to be co-laborers and to collaborate, to understand that you don't just want to work through one of us, you want to work through each of us as a church. And I pray as well, Lord, that we would be committed, that we're willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes so lives can be changed and transformed. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, like I want to be able to walk in this and I want to be able to exemplify this in my life, but I don't really know how to do it. I don't know how to go about it. Here's the first thing that I want you to do if you haven't already. It starts with you receiving something from God, that being the gift of life in a relationship with him through faith in his son Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross and through his resurrection. And if you're here this morning, this afternoon, and you're saying, today I need this. I need a relationship with him. I don't have this. But today, I was like that spiritual, that paralyzed man. I wasn't paralyzed physically, but I was paralyzed spiritually. I was spiritually dead. But today, I want to come alive. I want to be able to have victory. I want to be able to get up and walk just as this man did. I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of commitment. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the grave so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus be my Lord, and Jesus be my Savior. Thank you for saving me.